Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Pack Leader Podcast, season number 3, episode number 1. Brian Bland, what's up?
Not a lot. Excited to be back. Got some new talent, new faces on campus. A lot of excitement and ready for a new year.
Yes, sir. I can't believe we've been at this thing for 3 seasons now.
I know. It feels like maybe a season and a half at most.
I know. It's flying by. But I'm excited to be back for a 3rd season. We've gotten some really good feedback from all the supporters who watch and who listen on the various platforms. And, yeah, we're excited about another good season of the podcast and in terms of bringing you content and giving you all the insider access on everything Newberry Wrestling. First talking point we kind of wanted to get to is just we want to discuss some things we're excited about as we roll into the new year and the new season, first of which is our new facility. You want to talk to them a little bit about that?
Yeah, got a new facility. Actually, if anybody's familiar with our setup and how things have been laid out for the past over a decade, we've been downtown Newberry about like 0.6 miles, just right around half a mile away from campus. Great spot, great location, great venue for us, but we've kind of outgrown it with the addition of the women's program, and with the fact that we didn't have showers there and a couple other minor things that we'd like to amend, it made a lot more sense to move here on campus to a building right across the street from the football stadium that we own, so we can make the modifications and adjustments to the facility that we need. And, in very short order, it shaped up to be a quality facility. And with phase one having been completed and phase two scheduled for next summer prior to the women's team stepping on campus, we're in a great spot, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the biggest challenges we had with the old facility, space was not one of them. It was great space for us. But like you said, it was owned by the county, and so it didn't make a lot of sense to invest in a building that we didn't own. And obviously, with us leasing it, that's money that could be going towards something that we do own. And so I'm super grateful, we both are, to administration for helping us get into this building that's now on campus that we can invest in. If anything goes wrong with it, we can make sure we're taking care of it and that type of thing. And like Bland said, we did just complete phase one renovations, which was a complete gut of the inside. I wish I had some before and after photos of what it looked like before we got in there and what it looks like now. Completely different night and day, and it's a great space for us to be in. We have our weights set up in there. We have our cardio equipment. And just to be specific about what phase one entails versus phase two, so basically phase one just made it ready for us to wrestle in, right, and lift in and have our practices. Phase two will include the renovation of additional space that's on the side of the building where we'll put the women's locker room at, and also a shower as well.
Right, so phase one basically caught us up in the new facility to where we were at the old facility.
Yeah.
And so, phenomenal adjustment for us as far as addressing the shower problem, because now we're on campus, so guys can literally walk right back to their dorm room. They don't have to sit in a car and drive across town sweaty, sweating up their seats, getting that, staph or ringworm or whatever funk might be starting to grow on them from wrestling practice and sweating up their car with that and leaving a smell and all that stuff. So guys are able to kind of walk right across the street to practice from campus, practice hard, walk right back to their dorm and shower. So, that actually does address the shower situation, even though the showers are part of phase two. Mm-hmm. And really what it did was it brought the new facility up to speed with the previous facility and give us an opportunity to not miss a beat and step right into the new year, into the new facility get rolling right away.
Absolutely. In addition to the new facility, also excited about the incoming class of 2024. This class is complete with multiple state champions, multiple NHSCA All-Americans. We have NHSCA national champ. We have a JUCO champ in there, have transfers. So it's a really good class. One of the best, and I feel like, in my coaching career, and that's large in part of, Coach Blanton here doing some awesome recruiting, as well as the team that we have. It's a phenomenal group and a blessing to coach these guys. And I think once we're able to get these high-level recruits to campus, it really does sell itself. Once they get to spend some time with the guys, see the family, see the camaraderie, I think they realize that Newberry really is a special place.
Yeah, Newberry is a phenomenal place, and like you said, it sells itself. I think to give Coach Brown or myself too much credit on the recruiting side of things does a misjustice to our group of guys and the role they play in the recruiting process, because when guys come on campus and they hang out with these guys and they see – sort of that family environment and that atmosphere that the Newberry College provides and particularly our team provides, things to handle themselves. But you mentioned lots of multiples. We actually have multiple sets of the exact same DNA with the McCullough triplets.
Yeah.
We got some triplets who are all going to be fighting over, I'm not sure, with the exact same DNA, how far they can spread that across weight classes. I have to imagine when it comes down to it, they're going to be three dudes fighting over maybe two spots.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I was kind of looking at their weights the other day, and I could see a 25, 33, 41 type situation. If one's willing to bulk and one's willing to kind of suck it up and stay small and the other just live happy right in the middle.
Good. Yeah, we'll figure it out. We got a year or two, I think, before they're super ready, but hey, they – one might can sneak in the lineup this year. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. I'm excited about him. And the class in general, I think what's most important is that the group that's come in is in the right place in between the ears. And I think it's the breath of fresh air that we needed off of the season that we just had. I told the guys a couple weeks ago, the energy in this preseason is the best it's been since I've been at Newberry. Guys are locked in. We're hungry. We're ready to get after it. And I'm just really excited for the season ahead.
Oh, absolutely. And you mentioned a couple of the older guys. We got Kel Schrader, JUCO national champ. We were able to land him. But, you know, we've got some older guys. We always make jokes about JP being like the 28, 29-year-old on the team.
Right.
But, you know, we got some guys who have started college, gone a different route, lived a little bit of life, maybe done some coaching, and come in. Jacoby Benjamin.
Yep, sitting in the back. Jacoby, say what up to the people.
What's up, people?
Yeah, well, didn't want to call him out, but he's in the room.
Yeah.
Had to shout him out a little bit.
Yeah, and in addition to that, kind of leads me into my next point. You're talking about returners. You know, one of the other things we're excited about is the returning group that we have. Because while we got a good crop coming in, it's the guys that are providing leadership that really bolster that foundation for success that we have. Coaches, we're on a mission.
I'm trying real hard to push Fresca. It's delicious, satisfying, zero calories. It's my health drink of choice.
And we wanted to pick us up as a sponsor. Send us free Fresca. But, really excited about the new group or the returning group as well. In that group, we got multiple NCAA qualifiers. You got Shoop at 25, a two-time qualifier. You got Devin Moore, obviously, coming off of a great season where he was an All-American. 57, we have Will Evans, 65. You got P.J. Wunderlich at 74. Dayton Fields, 84 is a Brandon. And at heavyweight, you got D. Rice, who was a qualifier as well. Am I missing any?
That's 70% of your lineup, Coach.
Yeah, 70%.
Not a bad problem to have.
No, not a bad problem to have. And also three All-Americans in the room, too. I mentioned Devin Moore being one of them at 49, but with Will Evans and Zabrandon Gant being All-Americans in there, too, definitely got a good group for that new crop to learn from and to train with, more importantly. Big believer that iron sharpens iron. So
100%. And honestly, I mean, even taking not only those qualifiers, but even some of the All-Americans and comparing them and sort of what we know about them with maybe some newcomers, not even 100% sure who's going to fit in the lineup. So good problem to have because we got a little bit more depth than maybe we're used to having at certain weights. Mm-hmm. And I think, like you said, iron sharpens iron. So we're going to have some battles and some competition. And at the end of the day, we're going to have a guy that I think we can feel very confident can go out and compete for us and win for us.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that Valak did when we were here was keep everybody, for the most part, like some of y'all, you know, national champs were just fortunate enough to be pretty I guess confident that you were going to be the starter, but I felt for the most part, Valak kept everybody very uncomfortable. I never felt like from year to year I was going to be the guaranteed starter, even though I was a 4-year starter. I mean, there were multiple years where he recruited, a JUCO All-American or a dog out of high school to come in and not take my spot, but to be like, hey, I want the best guy at this weight to perform and put out a good product for Newberry.
Right. I mean, and you and I even in recruiting have talked about, hey, should we, you know, we got a little bit of money left. Should we throw it here or there? And, you know, my response often is best available, you know, and that's kind of that same mentality. You know, you got to go, yes, you have to round out your lineup, but at the same time, having a guy who's really good, but he's going to fall a match short from qualifying versus bringing in a dog who's going to beat him out and qualify and maybe All-American, you know, is filling this hole with a, you know, just some dude better than that. I don't necessarily think so.
Right. Well, I think it does two things. I think it helps you know, A, put out a better product, or B, help that guy who's right there on the cusp of getting to the tournament or getting on the podium. It gives him that extra push that he might need
for sure,
while that other guy behind him continues to develop. So
absolutely. And sometimes you might have a situation where you don't know what you got. So you find out and, you know, I know what he's accomplished. I know this guy's come close, yada, yada. We'll push one to make the other better and vice versa. But sometimes you find yourself in a situation where if it's neck and neck, wrestle this guy, let him finish out his career and hopefully achieve some success. And maybe if you can redshirt this guy, let him redshirt and develop further. So then maybe you've got a, you know, 2-3-time national champ waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad problem to have either.
No, absolutely. And that's kind of where we find ourselves, which is a good thing.
Absolutely.
So moving on, other things we're obviously excited about is the schedule for 23-24. Last year we finished 8-2 in the conference. We are 4-1 at home. We're 5-1 on the road, and 12-5 overall. So looking to continue to improve on that as we get into the 23-24 season, where we kick off at UNC Pembroke for the Pembroke Open, which me and you went to plenty
We've
of times
been there
in our day.
Many a times.
Yeah. So we'll be there, and then Montevallo comes, and that'll be our first home opener on November the 8th. And they're a first year program out in Alabama. Our coaching tree kind of is pretty vast at this point, I'd say, between the guys we got that have touched Newberry and then are now coaching at high school, but also college. And Montevallo makes me think of that because OMB, while he's a product of Pembroke, he did coach here for a little bit.
Right, yeah, OMB was here for a couple of years, and he took a head job at Wheeling. And then got the opportunity to start a new program at Montevallo, and he's recruited his behind off. He's done a great job putting together a tough, you know, a decent roster, so you can only imagine it's going to translate into a tough lineup. And, you know, they're going to be hungry. They're going to come in hoping, especially with OMB, knowing him and knowing that he coached here, they're going to come in hoping to, you know, make a statement. And it's going to be pressures on us to – shut that down.
Absolutely. So we hit the Pembroke Open, and then our first two conference matches, like I mentioned, Montevallo, Emory and Henry, and then our second open will be in Bristol, Tennessee, one of my old stomping grounds at King University, where we'll duel them on Friday night and then hit the open on Saturday. And then we host Life University here to kind of round out the first semester dual competition.
Right, and Life is a team that I believe last year was number two in the nation in the NAIA. So, you know, definitely no pushover. They're going to be tough. They're going to bring their A game. They wrestled Lander last year at Lander. I think Lander handled them fairly decisively, but there were a whole lot of close matches. Life was definitely in that duel. Solid program, solid team, and they're a team that we have to be ready for.
Oh, absolutely. And I was looking for, you know, going into Midwest Classic, wanting to be pushed. That was kind of the thought process. And I think it's going to be a really good competition for us, really good dual meet, especially as we get prepared for Midwest Classic, because we obviously want to be firing on all cylinders for that.
Right. And then, like you said, with Midwest Classic, that's going to be where I sort of have always viewed it as that's when the season really begins. That's when you've had all the opens and some duels, you've seen lots of your guys in maybe some different scenarios, and you've, you know, maybe we thought this was the guy, maybe he's not, you know, hopefully you've answered all your questions by Midwest, and you've put your, ideally, and this doesn't happen all the time, but ideally you've put your true starting lineup out for the first time at Midwest, and you can really sort of start building on the rest of your season there.
Definitely. I will say, though, man, with how competitive our conference and our region is getting, and the fact that we got like 30 teams now, it's hard to have that mindset as much as maybe we could before, just because you can't afford to lose one, because it's not a good product. You know, maybe we don't got all our starters, but you drop an early one to a Montevallo or to an Emory and Henry, maybe that burns you at the second season in terms of a conference title. So you kind of got to show up at that first duel ready to rock and roll, even if it's not your solidified lineup. You know, you hope that the product you put out on the mat can get it done for you.
Oh, for sure, and I think that's testament to hopefully. Hopefully we'll see the fruit of this, but that's the type of thing that could be a testament to the depth that I think we have this year that maybe we didn't have at certain ways last year, that will add to our ability to put out maybe not our ideal lineup or what ends up being the finalized version of our lineup, but that, you know, makeshift or temporary lineup is still very capable of competing at a high level.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, it's a testament to how competitive our region is getting, too. You know, for years and years and years, Super Region 2 has been known as not being the strongest region in the country. You know, all the coaches from the other region are always crapping on us, you know, when we get X amount of guys through. But, you know, we brought back to this region the second best team in the country, national runner-ups. Mount Olive put out a really good product at the NCAA tournament. Pembroke always shows up. So the region really is getting tougher too. King had an All-American, and I think that shows that there's some great coaching going around, you know, in the region as a whole.
Oh, for sure. And you know, we didn't do as much recapping some of last year, but I do know that at the region tournament, so conference wise we finished third behind Lander and Pembroke. Region wise we finished third as well behind Lander and Mount Olive, but we did outplace both of those number two teams at the national tournament. We finished second in our region at the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely something to build on. You know, definitely a little bit of momentum. And at the end of the day, you know, when you're all just forced to beat up on each other, yeah, you're going to see, you know, people fall or whatever, the dominoes are going to fall. But when we you stack our region up against the rest of the country, I do think that we've held our own in a sense. And I think we can build on that for sure. And, you know, Lander had a great year, and RC's done a great job putting things together over there.
Yeah, for sure.
But we talked about last year, talent-wise, I don't think they're better than us. I think they've done a great job just knowing how to win matches. And honestly, I think one of our biggest issues has kind of been that toughness. And Lander was probably one of the teams that really showcased it last year better than most. Pembroke traditionally is a real tough team, and that's an area that we – used to have an edge, and I think that slipped a little bit, and I think if we can get back that little mental edge, I think that's one of those things that's going to help make up the difference.
Yeah, and that's what we're working very hard on in this preseason. So, yeah, we'll definitely get there. Speaking of Pembroke, that's who we start off the new year with. We were on our competition season for 23-24. We wrestled them on January 2nd, so quick turnaround from that Christmas break, and we'll see them at home in our gym. And after that, we leave, quick turnaround, going to Cedar Falls. Long trip for national duels this year. Got to fly out there. We're going to wrestle NWCA national duels, where 2022 we took fourth last year. They don't place top 10, but if they were placing, we would have finished 10th after losing a really close one to UIndy, and just tough draw seeing Kearney in that first round.
Right.
But I was really pleased with how we competed. We wrestled Fort Hayes. I think we got to see
Ashland and McKendree.
Yeah. So all great duels, and I think that really helped. Honestly, talking about individual performances, that's kind of where Devin Moore started to separate himself at that 149 weight class and showed that he was ready for the NCAA tournament.
Oh, for sure. And another one that didn't translate directly, but really should have. Dayton Fields had a great weekend out there and lived up to it all the rest of the season. And even in the postseason, the guy he lost to at Regents and NCAAs, Mount Olive kid, he was winning both those matches and kind of just found himself getting caught in funky situations.
Yeah.
But that was sort of the turning point in Dayton's season as well. And
I think he beat the number four guy out there.
Yeah, really sort of leveled up there. So that's one of those times that you put your guys – and I like having Midwest in that back-to-back because you're like, hey, go test yourself against the best in the country. And then if things go well, you sort of try to build on it. But if things don't go well, you're like, hey, in a week and a half, 2 weeks, whatever it is.
You're going to get to do it again.
Yeah, we're going to go right back out and do it again. So we go to Midwest, give the guys 6-7 days a break, come back, and we're wrestling Pembroke right away, and then going right into national duels. So two huge events back-to-back. I love it, and I prefer that part of the season because there's so much focus and dedicated time to wrestling where you're not sort of doing the class and this, that,
for
and the
sure.
other. So plus the team always gets closer, and that's where you really see that leveling up.
That was always my favorite time of the year. I mean, we would hit Grand Canyon duels. We just be – you really do feel like a professional athlete at that time because all you do is eat, sleep, and train, and then compete, you repeat. You know, eat, sleep, train, compete, repeat. And it's one of the best times of the year for the guys. And so after national duels, we come back in for some conference duels where we'll see Allen at Allen. We'll wrestle Belmont Abbey at Newberry, Limestone in Gaffney, South Carolina, Coker at Hartsville. And then we have the Newberry Open here at Newberry, South Carolina in Eliezer Arena. Last year, tournament was huge. So it's a good problem to have. We have some growing pains. We're going to go from 4 mats to 6 mats and then open it up to 2 gyms to help alleviate some of those growing pains. And I think we'll also cut off registration. That way we're not in the gym till 10 p.m. So we do apologize for that. Last year we weren't prepared, but you know, we got some ample time to make those adjustments to make sure it's a quality tournament experience, because at the end of the day, it's been a tournament that has been really successful, and we want to keep that tradition going.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the big things that I think makes it as successful it is the fact that second semester you don't have those opens.
Right.
Like you have first semester where everyone's trying to get their lineup set in place, figure out who's going to be the starter, get redshirt guys matches. And D1, I think you can actually wrestle a certain number of matches and still be a redshirt.
Four.
You can wrestle 4 matches, still redshirt. So that's 1 to 2 opens for some guys where they're able to wrestle attached and then still redshirt. So very heavy open season in the first semester. Second semester rolls around, and everyone's sort of focused on the varsity team. And if you're a redshirt, you're kind of left high and dry. So that's one of the main reasons why I think we have that success in our open, because it is second semester. It's fairly late in the year, and it's an opportunity right before the team really starts ramping up for conference, regionals, nationals, all that stuff, while you're still kind of focused on being in season and not postseason. guys are able to go out and get some competition and actually have coaches care about you. They can't necessarily coach red shirts in the corner and all that stuff, but it's an opportunity for coaches to really push something, care about how the red shirts are doing, all that sort of thing. And then red shirts who have been training for 2 months with no competition,
right,
that starts to get monotonous. It's an opportunity to go shine and show what you've been able to accomplish and show where you're at and give yourself a point of comparison from 2 months ago when you wrestled those two opens, and it's been 2 months.
Where are we at now?
Go out and get a little mat time and figure out where you're at.
Definitely. And so looking forward to that. And then UMO is senior night right after that. Obviously, that's going to be a heated battle with the recent transfer status of the Decaturs. Really hated losing those guys. Love them to death. And, you know, super happy that Timmy was able to get his degree here. And honestly, you know, we wish him the best going to get his graduate degree too. But you can expect that to be a heated duel for senior night. And they got a talented squad, man. They've done a phenomenal job recruiting there. And I expect them to bring it on senior night. So we got to be ready.
Oh, yeah. And they showed us last year that they're very capable of maybe putting a lineup together late in the season that you didn't expect, because they had some guys at regionals who,
like, who is this dude?
Were in the finals. And it's like, right. I've never seen this guy before in my life. So, and I'm not saying they're trying to be tricky or trying to, you know, play their cards close to the chest or anything like that, but the quality program that is capable of putting guys in the lineup at the right time to make some noise. And that late in the year on senior night, there's no telling what could happen, so we're going to have to bring it.
Absolutely. And then after that, we get into our postseason competition. So we'll have our SAC Conference Championships, which is obviously to be determined based on how we compete throughout the year. And then we go into Super Region 2 Tournament and then D2 Nationals, so which will be in Kansas City, Missouri this year.
Wichita.
It said Kansas City. I was reading off the website.
Wichita, Kansas, isn't
Yeah,
it?
You're right.
It's Wichita, Kansas.
You're right.
Different city, different state. The word Kansas is in both.
Gotcha.
To touch quickly on the conference championship, it is not going to be a individual tournament like regionals and NCAAs. It will be a four-team bracket, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
The top two teams from – so our conference has finally grown large enough to be split into two divisions. We have an East and a West, or a Mountain and a Piedmont, or mm-hmm. whatever it is. There's two divisions. The top two teams from each division will – cross bracket, one will wrestle two in a semis, and then there will be a final. So it will be a dual style conference championship, and hopefully it's something that will be a lot of fun, because we're both from South Carolina. We've always talked about how the national team champion should be decided through duels, and because that's how our state tournament was in high school. Cause I just think it sort of shows what's the better team, you know, better coaching decisions, things like that. It's beyond just sending five individuals who are all going to place highly.
Right.
You know? So,
and for a fan, that's fun to watch.
Oh, for sure. Because the team you're rooting for, you get to actually watch them. It's not like following six dudes on eight mats over the course of a 12-hour day,
right,
you know, or something like that. Like, you're going to sit there, you know, for an hour and a half and watch your favorite team compete. So
yeah,
that's a lot of fun.
Definitely. I'm excited about that. And so yeah, that's what our season looks like. I think keys for us this year in terms of closing the gap, not only in our region, but, you know, moving up. We finished 27th at the NCAA tournament last year. And we want to close that. We're better than that. We're capable of a better performance than that. I think some keys to closing that gap: one, staying healthy and staying eligible. I think those are two big ones for us. We had some pretty significant season ending injuries last year that really helped us, you know, not helped us, but did, you know, made our performance not what it could have been. And also, I think it's holding our guys accountable to the little things. At our end-of-the-year meetings that me and Blanton do with the team, I probably, you know, out of interviewing 40 guys on an individual basis, when I asked what's the number one thing we needed to improve on as a program, I don't know if they got together and had this conversation, but that phrase, like, we just need to do better at the little things, we heard that hundreds of times in those meetings. And so I think holding them accountable to that, what they already know they need to be doing, is a key to us. And then you hit the third one. It's just that mental edge. Wrestling, you know, athletics in general, but particularly wrestling, often comes down to just who's the tougher person, you know?
Right. And you know, like, you look at it like a football game, you could be down by 35 points with 2 minutes to go, you know, there's no chance to win,
right?
So at that point, it's, do you put in the fourth string and let them get some time? Do you just take a knee and run out the clock? Do you try to keep the first string in and maybe get some points on the board and make it more respectable? But they're all bad decisions. Like, none of them are, like, an option to win the game.
Right.
In wrestling, you could be down by 14.
Yeah.
And if there's 6 seconds left, you can still pin him. Right. You know, you still win the match. So our guys sort of understanding that you're always in a match and understanding that there's more than one way to win a match and not letting a bad call or, you know, losing a tough scramble or things like that get to them. I really think sort of embracing the struggle and the challenge, I think, will help our guys sort of take that next step as well.
Agree, 100%. And, yeah, I'm excited for this season. So, obviously, each season and every episode, we always have alumni who come back, whether they were phenomenal leaders while they're here or in their professional lives. We love to get guys on the podcast and chop it up just to see what they've been up to and just shed some insight on what's made them a good leader to hopefully benefit not only our listeners but the guys on the team too. And we're really happy to have on the episode this for our first episode, so Ernie Young, who wrestled with both of us back in the day. We always joke because we say he was like the sacrificial lamb. Coach Valley would throw that guy out anywhere from 133 all the way up to 84. But
anywhere.
I think one of the things we appreciated about him most was always just never a complaint. He was willing to go out and scrap for his squad no matter what.
There was never a question. It was like, hey, Ernie, I need you to do this. And it was like any other sport where weight class or position doesn't matter. It was just, oh, You may go in the game. Gotcha, coach. Like, hey, Ernie, you're wrestling 57 today. All right, time to go.
Right.
You know, or Ernie, you're 33. Yes, sir. Ernie, 74. You got it.
Yep.
So Ernie took it all, you know, with a grain of salt and took it in stride and held his own. I mean, it didn't matter what way he was at. It was going to be – he was going to keep it tight.
Yeah,
and whether win, lose, or draw, you were going to know you wrestled Ernie Young that day.
Definitely. So hope you guys enjoyed the interview. Here's Ernie Young.
Man, well, I appreciate you joining the podcast. It's been a while.
Oh yes, man. I appreciate you, man. Appreciate you.
Absolutely, dude. So, what are you up to these days? Because I mean, it's been forever since last time we had a chance to catch up. I think last time we talked, are you in the Virginia Beach area?
Yeah. So, I'm near the Virginia Beach area. I'm in Fort Eustis, currently right now. So it's near Hampton University, that area.
Okay. Nice. How are you liking it?
Man, I love it out here, man. It's great to be on the East Coast, you know, where we're used to running up and down, going 95 tournaments, and you know, so it feels back at home to be in this area, but I definitely love the area.
Well, yeah, like I said, I appreciate you joining the podcast. Title of it's Pack Leader Podcast. And, you know, as me and Blanton kind of brainstorm over the course of the season, we always try to think of people who were leaders during their time at Newberry, but also leaders post-graduation and in their lives now. And, you know, following you on social media, it's really a point of pride for us to see you out there crushing it now in the Army. And I kind of want to just start, you know, at the beginning. Tell everybody, you know, just introduce yourself to the people who are listening right now, and as far as who you are, and, you know, how you ended up at Newberry from high school.
Yeah. So funny story, of course, as we all know, wrestling isn't just a sport, it's a lifestyle, you know, and it's something that you begin to embody soon as you get your first taste of winning, you know. So starting off in high school, you know, this is really how it started. Me and Keno Griffin, as everyone knows, super great guy, down to earth, will do anything for you, always just trying to encourage you, you know. So me and Keno, we would always find ourselves in tournaments together, and he was going to an opposite school, and we would be in the finals just sitting around waiting for the finals all the time, just sleeping under bleachers. You know how it goes, sleeping under bleachers, just trying to stay hydrated. And me and Keno, we would joke around like about different things. And he ended up getting an offer to Newberry, and we kind of were talking about it. We're just like, let's just go forward, you know, like, let's go. And so we talked about it, and that's kind of how it went. We just trusted each other, and we went forward. It was just like, all right, Newberry, we never really heard of it, but we started looking at everything. We started looking at the first thing, you know, you're a competitor. You start looking. Keno was looking at Quinn Tober. He's just like, well, when I get there, I'm a beast him up. You know, you know, I'm a dog in the match. You know, and I'm looking at Andrew. I'm like, oh yeah, he has the same name, but he looks small. I was like, I'm gonna kill him. You know, I was just like, yeah, I'm a crush him when I get there, you know. And lo and behold, like, that's not how it works when you go to college. Like, those small things that you think are small are, that's not the case. But yeah, that's how we ended up at Newberry, just trusting each other and just wanting to go to the same school, you know, two guys from Florida. And then, you know, of course, you had Cy Wainwright and all these other guys that were coming, and Brendan Kelly, all these guys that were there. So it just became home. It just came family to us.
Right. And all y'all were from the same neck of the woods, right, in Florida? That, because I know Cy's from Jacksonville. What high school did you go to?
I went to Baker County. So Cy went to Green Coast Springs, which is approximately probably 20 minutes away from my town. Okay. Keno was going to a school at the time. I think Andrew Jackson or Lee. I think, yeah, he was going to Lee at the time in Jacksonville.
Okay.
And which was like 20 minutes away. So we were all relatively in the same area.
Nice, nice. So yeah, man. So then you get to Newberry, and you know, you mentioned, you know, having a scrap with Andrew Young, kind of scoping out the weight class and where you might fall. You came in as a 33 pounder, but it's funny because I think what year did you come in as your freshman year?
I came in 05. So I started off at 25. Yeah.
Okay.
Where Andrew was at 25.
Got it. And then I remember when I came in 08, so I guess that would have been like your junior year, I just remember you wrestling as being about the same size, but wrestling as heavy as like 65, 74, just doing what the team needed. Like Valak would be like, hey, man, we got a hole right here. Like, we need you to fill in. And you were down. Yeah. You're like, yep, put me in, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that was some D1 duels too, if I'm not mistaken, right, Blaine?
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah. Ernie was ride or die. He was like, hey, where you need me? Let's go. And I ain't gotta cut no weight. Oh, you need a 65 today? All right, coach, I got you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so fast forward, you come to Newberry. What did you end up studying for your major?
So physical education. So I did leisure service, minor in coaching. So I think it's one of those things, once you taste wrestling and you know, you first get your first punch in the face and you realize like, all right, I got to work for everything in wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes one of those things that you want to embody. You want to continue to inspire kids. You want to continue to really embrace the sport of wrestling because it's such a beautiful sport. It's such a beautiful thing to be able to teach, train, and mentor a lot of these individuals that you can come in contact with, you know? So yeah, that was like my major was something I was just like, oh, I want to continue wrestling. I want to continue being a coach and just inspiring others.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And, as you think about, you know, I imagine when I reached out to you about joining, you know, us for an interview on the podcast, have you been thinking about, just different experiences at Newberry that might stick out in your mind? Ones that you can mention on the podcast, like what are some of the experiences that you're most fond of?
Yeah. So for one, Blanton can contest this. Like, Coach Valak used to have some of the hardest wrestling practices ever. I remember
we don't watch Keno quit about 47 times.
Multiple times from, hey, like, so I remember, like, so Blanton, Cy, Keno, Quinn, all those guys, you know, that was just like, that was the core. Like, that was the core during that time. These guys, like, with great leadership attributes, you know, always encouraging each other. Like you said, like, it would be so many times where we're just like, yo, I quit. I don't want to do this anymore. Because it like, Coach Valak would push you to that level every single time. And that's why, like, it was like a hate-love relationship with Valak. But I honestly, like, looking back now, I really love Coach Valak and what he did and how he inspired us, and not just in wrestling, but what he taught us. At the old gym, I remember, to get to your point, Coach Valak made us run with kettlebells, and you had to carry someone, not your weight. So I remember, I think I had to carry, like, Cy. And as we know, Cy is not the most bona fide person when it comes to hygiene. So it was like the nastiest thing for me, having to carry Cy, because he was sweaty. It was nasty, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like I don't want to do this then. But it was those things, like, you continue to go through like leadership, just team building things that really embody what Newberry is really about, you know, that bond, that team, like that hunger to push each other no matter how hard it gets. And that's one of the great memories that I do have, you know, besides being in the basement in Bro Call, as we used to call it down there, scrapping with each other, you know, different little things, just great team yeah. stuff, you know, nothing bad.
Definitely.
Well, Ernie, I want to touch on something. So, you know, a lot of times being a great teammate and being a great leader are sometimes very different things, but sometimes that's, you know, it's very much the same thing. And one thing that I've always respected the heck out of you for is, you know, in school, you were in the ROTC, you've been doing sort of the military thing. This ain't nothing new. This is a post-graduation decision.
Right.
Kind of speak to some of that a little bit, how you've taken that time as a wrestler and as a teammate and how to be a part of a team, but also the leadership values you've gained through, I think, you know, wrestling, I think we would all agree makes the best leaders of any sport and probably any high school or college level activity that you could think of. Wrestling, I think, is probably number one on the list for making leaders. How have you sort of used that to balance yourself and progress through your career, you know, using some of those things, like you said, you know, talking about those memories, talking about the things wrestling gave you at Newberry and Valak and all that stuff. How has that translated career-wise for you? And you know, just I'd like to hear a little bit about your path of not deviating too much. You've been doing the military thing this whole time.
Yeah. So, again, Blanton always with a package question. As always, love you, man. I think for me, honestly, and Keenan's probably going to hate me for this, but I'm going to say it. So, as we all know, like, our practice, it was like, Coach Valor was just like, he wanted to see, like, who really wanted this, you know? He wanted the best of the best out there. And I can say that me and Keno, we first looked at this, and ROTC was just like, oh, hey, listen, we can get out of practice at this time. Go do ROTC. You know, like, if you do ROTC during that time, we can go play paintball. We have different activities that we can go do, man. Like, we can miss practice. We're like, heck yeah, we're going to do it. So, you know, we would take that opportunity and go learn about military science and different things like that. But I really started taking a liking into it, you know. Besides, at the end of the day, Coach Valak always had different tricks. Yeah, you can miss that practice, but remember, you're going to be later, or that early morning, you're back to make up that practice. So our plan failed anyway, miserably. But anyways, so the leadership things that I learned throughout wrestling really translated over to the military. You know, never giving up, always like fighting for blood, sweat, and tears, leaving everything that you have on the mat, but in the military also, you know. So in the military, you're not doing it for you. You're doing it for others. And that's the same way with wrestling, you know. Yeah, wrestling is a team sport and it's an individual sport, but you're really fighting blood, sweat, and tears out there for others that are pushing you along the way. And for me, it was really that camaraderie and that team building that, when you had personal things that were going on in life, everybody on the wrestling mat, they were there to help you, push you along, you know. Many times that we sit in there crying and personal things together, just pushing each other, losing weight, Keno several times, tantrums, blatting yourself, like everybody oblivious that you got to cut so much weight, you know. But still, at your lowest point, and I can matriculate this over to, like, losing weight, you know, going through airborne school. Like, you go through excruciating pain running all the time. So when I went to airborne school, I felt like, man, this, like, I'm used to this. Like, pain, like, I'm encouraging people. I'm yelling, come on, let's go, you know, because that's what we were taught. You know, encourage each other. Go through the pain with each other. So everything that I was taught in wrestling really just transformed in the military. So understanding that it's not about just that one match, but looking and progressing towards everything that you need to do and continue to inspire and create the best cohesive relationship that you can with each other. So to pinpoint exactly what you were saying, Blanton, for me, wrestling and ROTC really kind of just meshed together and it made sense to me, you know, with like great leaders like yourself, you know, always being positive. You know, it's the same thing with the military, like seeing people at their lowest point, but being able to be positive with them, you know, and guide people, you know, coming from that small school that we had, you know, it was all about like, hey, you need to make sure that you're checking on each other. You need to make sure that you're encouraging each other. And it's the same thing with the military. You know, we're going through some of the hardest times throughout our life right now. Mental, you know, mental is the biggest thing for us. You got to make sure that we're all mentally prepared for whatever we're going up against, you know. And it's the same thing with wrestling. If you're not mentally prepared, you can be in the best shape of your life. But if you're not mentally prepared when you step on that mat, it's a great possibility that you're going to end up losing because you're not all there. So I think that's what really, really drove me and understood and helped me like continue to be achievable in the military, you know, like always having that fortitude to keep fighting and encouraging and having faith that no matter how hard this is, it's going to get better.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think I like that a lot. And I just want to touch on one point you kind of said right there somewhere in the middle. It's basically being a good leader meant that you're leading for others, you know, and I think that really summarizes, you know, the teammate being a great teammate aspect versus the leadership lessons that wrestling and the military, you know, have combined, and you hit the nail on the head there.
A lot of times, some of the guys on the team, you know, like you mentioned, when that weight cut's happening, it'll break any of us, man. It'll be the best of us. But it's interesting to me how in the moment in college, 18 to 23 year old or however old you are wrestling in college, it can seem like the most challenging and daunting thing that you'll ever encounter in your life. Can you speak to, now that you graduated and you're in the military, life or death, you know, that's at stake. So obviously it's way higher than just making weight on the scale. Can you speak to like what ways it's more challenging now than it was to be a college wrestler as far as being in the military is concerned?
Yeah. So of course, fast forwarding to your point that there are a lot of different jobs and people. That's my job now, you know, as a logistician. So my job now, I'm Battalion XO. So I'm in charge of soldiers ensuring that they have all the beans, bullets, everything that they need to sustain the war fighters, right? So the biggest part of this is ensuring that they're properly trained, they have the correct equipment, and they're mentally prepared for whatever battle that we have, you know? And for me, it's all about being able to genuinely love and trust people and for them to have that genuine love and trust for you, you know? And I think for me, like, that's what I learned from wrestling. Like, you have to genuinely love and trust people in order for someone to follow you, you know? And in order for you to be a leader, people have to follow you, and you have to vice versa, you know, you have to follow also. So for me, it's always been about after college, like how do I attack someone's mental to understand what they're going through? Are they prepared for what we're up against? You know, like breaking down walls of people, because you can easily walk past someone and say hello, you know, and not mean it. But for me, I genuinely want to know, like, hey, how are you doing today? I want someone to tell me that, you know, like, how are you doing today? And we get in the habit sometimes of not, it's just a cliche, like, hey, how are you doing? You move on about your business. You know, so I challenge myself every day to stop, even if it's just a minute, just like, hey, how you doing? How's life going? Like, what's going on? What's something great that you have going on? And so that's the biggest thing for me after college, moving into the real world. And so my soldiers are like my kids, you know, and of course, you know, I have kids now. And that's the biggest thing for me, like, genuinely loving and genuinely showing people that you're there for them has really helped me And it helped me as a wrestler, you know, because everybody wants to be great. And of course, everyone can admit, like, Ernest, he had a good attitude, but he probably wasn't the best wrestler, you know, but he had a great attitude. Like, he was always willing to fight for us, always encouraging us, always doing everything that he could, you know, especially when you had someone like Tony Washington putting those big paws on you, grabbing you know what I'm talking about, grabbing the life out of you.
I just took that.
I tell people all the time, I wrestled 74 and 84 when Tony was on the team, and I tell people to this day, like, when Keno will grab my wrist, okay, that's Keno's wrist now. But when Tony grabs your wrist, it hurts.
Oh, my God. What?
There's a difference.
Oh, like, my gosh.
Like, I'm not getting this back versus, please stop. That's painful.
Right. We wrestled my freshman year. I was like, man, I guess I'm just going to take a red shirt this year when that first lob go. go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I just remember when you came in, man, like, you were a different breed, man. So I just want to say personally, like, I appreciate who you have always been, man. You've always been, like, a stand-up guy, always encouraging. No matter when you're in the worst mood, like, you were always trying to find ways to be inspirational, you know, always, like, you would fight to the end of every match. And I was like, this guy never stops, you know, and I just want to say I appreciate you as a wrestler, and then seeing what you're doing now as a head coach, man. Like, I commend you a lot, and, like, you're well deserving of this job, you know. So I just appreciate you because I know what type of person you are, man. So, like, I can see, like, these things that we've learned really helps us and keeps molding us into better people, man. So kudos to you, boss.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate that, man. And you mentioned that you have kids now. How many kids do you have?
Woo! So I got 4 kids now. 2 boys, 2 girls.
Nice.
Hey, nice. Same boat, man.
Yep.
Congrats, buddy.
Nice. Yeah. And then is your family there with you? Y'all living there together? Or are you kind of like on assignment?
Yeah, so I'm on assignment. So, of course, you know, I married Denise Williams, who was part of Newberry, you know, so. Yep. Of course, you find your love there. She played tennis and she tried ROTC, but you know, I had to. Hey, probably this isn't for you. You know, go be a nurse. You know, so she's doing great things. You know, super proud of her. But they're currently living in Texas right now, where she's a lactation consultant. Okay. Extremely wow. Proud of what she's doing.
Nice, that's awesome. And so, what year is this for you in the Army?
So this is year 15 for me, man.
That's crazy. What's the game plan? Yeah. Like, moving forward, do you got, like, goals as far as, you know, when you want to retire, or just, like, next steps for you on the ladder? Kind of what does the next 5 to 10 years look like for you?
Honestly, man, I'm going to ride this to the wheels fall off until like, I'm just going to keep inspiring, man. You know, just as well as, like, Blanton is a great product of, like, he'll catch you when you never expect it, you know, and just translating it back. I just remember some of the greatest moments of him with the BIP, you know, just like the greatest moments you would ever think of, you know. That's what I want to continue to inspire. That's what I want to do. I just want to keep inspiring, man. I want to keep catching people off guard to be the best product of themselves. And I want to be a battalion commander. I want to one day be a 1-star general, you know, so we can look back and say, man, that was a product of our wrestling team. That was a product of our school. And, you know, that's what I want. I want to just continue inspiring and being the best person I can be, you know. So rank doesn't matter to me, but that leadership and that bond and the stories to be told is more important to me.
Definitely. That's awesome. And I really enjoy interviews with, no shortage of our alumni who are still in the wrestling field in some capacity, right? Like, they're wrestling or they're coaching, even if it's if they got kids that they're coaching at the club. But I always enjoy having guys on the podcast who aren't really as involved with the sport anymore, just to show and shed light on the fact that you can still be a leader and have a successful career, even if it doesn't have anything to do with wrestling. So
hey, wait a minute. I can never – listen, I still have my wrestling shoes now. Every pair of wrestling shoes. Hey, so I'm still doing jiu-jitsu.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, so my son is doing jiu-jitsu. He kind of took, like, a little break. You know, he's venturing different sports now. But I still still get involved going to local high schools and club teams like that. So the heart and the love for the sport is never gone. I may not be actively involved, but I'm still there.
Got it. And I guess I just mean from like the standpoint of your day job. You know what I mean?
I got you. Like, I'm just messing with you, man.
You can make a good living. Talk to me a little bit about just, you know, we got a lot of recruits who we talk to on a daily basis who are interested in going into the military. What are some of the biggest perks of, you know, serving our country?
Honestly, I think one of the biggest perks of this is that it's a rotating wheel, something that you're never going to get bored with. You're always going to be learning. You're always going to have opportunities of growth. You're going to visit different places, different people. There's so much that you're going to experience as far as gaining certifications, besides the benefits. Everybody understands the benefits, but I don't think a lot of people join the military and serve for that reason. They serve because it's within their heart, you know, for God and country, you know. So at the end of the day, like, those things that you gain and the experience that you gain, the people, that long-lasting connection that you'll have, you know. There's so many people, like, through my fraternity, Kappa Alpha Psi, that I met that are in the military, you know, that are great mentors. So you're going to have mentors. You're going to have leaders, people that continue to push and pull, give you the advice and knowledge that you need. So it's like a long chain of another brotherhood that you'll never get bored of.
Nice. That's awesome, man. What are some of the favorite places it's taken you since you've been, because you've been in for 15 years, so I imagine you've done your fair share of traveling.
Yeah. One of my favorite places I can tell you is Korea.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, yeah, Korea was a very, very interesting place, one of the wealthiest places. One of my favorite words I learned was "kakachu seyo." You know, I had to learn that very quick, you know, and that's, can I get a discount? So,
nice.
So, yeah, Korea was one of my favorite places, man.
That's awesome. How long were you there?
I was only in Korea for like a month or so, doing some training. I was there for some training.
Okay. Nice, dude. Well, yeah, man, just kind of wrapping up, hit us with a little just wisdom and knowledge. You've kind of done that already, but just for the guys we got on the team right now, you know, aspiring to have successful careers in college and post-college too, you know, if you had to leave them with one nugget of wisdom, what would that be?
Man, you hit me with the loaded. You hit me with the blind. Then
I'm rubbing off on him, Murray.
I can tell, man. You're doing a good job, man. You're doing a good job. One thing that I can really say, no matter what rough patch you're in life, or where you're at a sport, trust in the process, trust in yourself, and trust the leadership that's guiding you. You know, because that's the most important and crucial thing. That you need to trust yourself. You need to have trust in the process in order for the leaders to be able to give you that knowledge and give you that understanding of where you're going in, you know? So if you're not trusting those things and you're not doing what's needed, it's going to be hard for you. So just enjoy people around you. Always be positive. You know, it's very easy to be negative. So at every chance you get, encourage someone, be positive. And make sure that you're just being a steward of the sport, not just doing it for scholarship purposes or anything like that, because that doesn't last. You got to have heart. And you got to have love for the sport of wrestling. And you got to have heart and love for wanting to go out and step on that mat, because it's not just in colleges. We know that one move can be the end of everything that you ever done, you know? So just trusting yourself and trusting the process and trusting your leadership, such as yourself, Blanton and Brown, you know? So you got to trust you guys and then trust the process, just repeating. And I think that's what should be echoed, you know, just trust everybody and just know that you guys are great people, man. And you genuinely love, and you genuinely care about people. So they're always going to see that. So that's one of the things I would really share, is just trust the process and trust yourself and trust your leadership.
I appreciate that, man. Well, yeah, dude, we definitely are proud to call you one of our own, and are obviously looking forward to continuing to follow, you know, your career and all the great things you're doing, you know, now that you're gone from Newberry. But don't be a stranger. If you're ever in this neck of the woods, come to a duel.
Oh, I'm not, man.
All right. Cool. But thanks so much, man, for taking time. I know you're busy, so taking time to hop on means a lot. And obviously, we really appreciate your service to the country as well.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you guys a lot, man. Continue to do great things, man.
Oh, yeah. And Ernie, man, I'll be honest with you, brother. This is one of the interviews that when it's over, I'm feeling like, man, I could talk for another 2 hours. So
I know, man.
I've enjoyed catching up. You know, you're doing great things. I'd love to summarize, and I want to get your approval on this summary, because I certainly don't want to put words in your mouth. But one thing that actually one of the first people that I ever heard this from was Jake Elkins, who we interviewed. He was one of our first interviews, but he likes to say, people don't care what you know till they know that you care. And yes. And man, that rings so true with every word that's come out of your mouth, man. It's the two words that I think came out of your mouth the most were love and trust. And I think, yes, if you have one and have the other, they bounce off each other, you know, so well. And you've echoed that. And it's just reminiscent of your time on the team and how you loved us. You trusted the program. You trusted the process. And, man, you were ride or die. And I will always love that about you. And like Coach said, don't be a stranger.
Oh, yes, sir. I appreciate you guys, man. Absolutely. Anything I could do, man, let me know.
Will do. Take care, man.
All right. Coach, that's Ernie Young, everyone. What'd you think?
Coach, I love talking to Ernie. You know, he was a couple years older than us, and he's always been a pleasure to be around, always good energy. But you can really see that, and you can feel that in how he spoke about things, just sort of the way he talked about leadership within his group, ways that he tries to do things amongst the people he's in charge of. Those are all things that translate to what we do, and you can see that not only is there a translation from his experience as a wrestler, you know, and the respect of that, but just sort of how things, you know, translate from what we do to the real world.
Definitely. It's an awesome interview. And speaking of alumni, I kind of wanted to talk about what's coming up next for us as a program, and that's Alumni Weekend. We have that on October 13th and 14th. It's going to be a blast. So far, we've gotten confirmations from former national champion Keno Griffin, former national runner-up BJ Young. I think Matt Wade said he's coming, Blake Rittenhauer, Duddy, Wheezy, I'm trying to think who else. Andrew Young from down in Charleston, South Carolina. So a really good Bill Glace, Wild Bill. I'm just kind of going off the top of my head. All these guys are coming back. And on the 13th, we're going to all do a golf tournament. I think we tee off at 8 a.m. And then we'll play golf all day. After that, we're going to head back to campus for the quad party that they have. Last year was pretty fun. Had some adult beverages out there, and they do a little concert. And then on that next day, you can plan to do, if you're coming, just a tour of the wrestling facility and the new wrestling room, along with some of the other stuff on campus too. Because, you know, I was talking to Keno the other day, and he has the last new thing for him on campus was the Mills. So a lot of these guys haven't been back to campus to see the new dorms, to see the new nursing and health science building, to see the new Founders Federal Credit Union. So that'll be a pretty cool tour, and something exciting for you guys to check out. And then we'll finish off Saturday with our tailgate.
All right, and just to confirm, that tailgate is for our homecoming. So we're not just having you guys come back for just a random weekend or just some random home game. So it'll be homecoming. Should see lots of old classmates. Last year we had a gentleman from like class of like 1960 who wandered over randomly,
got a hot dog,
ended up at our tailgate, got a hot dog and a hamburger, sat down and hung out with us all day. And he was cool. He was in like the band back in the day. He was wearing his old jacket. Yep. You know, so a lot of fun there. A couple different All-Americans and national qualifiers in that list of guys you mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
So a great opportunity to come meet some of the history of the program, a lot of the success that the program was really sort of founded on, and a good opportunity that, like Coach said, that golf tournament is going to be Friday, mm-hmm, on the 13th. Get in touch with one of us. Hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you find us. Get in touch with us if you want details. We can help you out. Still looking for whole sponsors. Still looking for, I'm sure they would accept donations, door prizes, all that kind of stuff. And obviously just having teams to play is where it's all about. So come have fun with us, play some golf. And then we're playing, is it Catawba that day?
Yeah.
Playing Catawba, so one of our bigger rivals. We used to be the Indians. They still are the Indians, so we need to make sure we settle that and let them know who's the real Indians.
Definitely. And I'm getting old, man. This is my 10-year reunion.
That's crazy, Coach.
Yeah, I know. So class of 2013, if you wrestled and graduated with me in 2013, that's definitely a special year, you know, decade since being here and wrestling for this great place. So, yeah, excited to have you guys and looking for a second annual, trying to make it better each year, looking forward to a great weekend. Other things I'll just mention quickly in passing, October 15th, we have our annual fall clinic. You can find details about that on our social media. That's open to all youth and high school level wrestlers, but it is only open to those who are, you know, intermediate to advanced level, because that's going to be some more high level stuff that we're showing, a little bit different than what we traditionally do for camp, where it's more step by step. That's going to be higher pace as guys are trying to prepare for Super 32. October 18th, we have our annual phone-a-thon where we're going to launch our fifth pin pool. It's been a huge success for us every year, and as we start to kick off our fundraising initiatives for phase two renovations, it's very vital and critical that we have a strong showing this year as far as the pin pool is concerned. And then our team store is open, another way you can support the Wolves if you're looking to get some merch and also support the team and our fundraising initiatives for phase two. You can go get some merch online, and all that stuff, like I said, is on our Instagram page. The link is in bio. It's also on our Twitter and also on our Facebook, and you can check that stuff out there.
Just to touch base on some pin pool phone-a-thon information. So typically the way that works, just so everyone's aware, it's kind of like a walk-a-thon or jump rope for hard or whatever. You pledge a certain dollar amount per pin that the team earns this season. So typically we're somewhere in the 70 to 90 pin ballpark. So let's say you pledge a dollar per pin, we get 80 pins. You would give $80 to the program at the end of the season. But in addition to that, this year we're starting a new thing. So it's a pin pool. Everybody thinks of a swimming pool, whatever. We're sort of starting the big splash items. Mm-hmm. So if there's something that you really want to see your dollars at work, some cardio equipment, certain types of uniform needs, whether it be warm-ups or singlets or other needs for the new facility, things of that nature. So there's going to be opportunities. Again, some people really like to see their dollars at work, and if you want to be able to sort of have your hand in something, have your name on something, those are opportunities there for the big splash items for the pin pool, and we are super appreciative of those as well, because those are the items that sort of make that immediate impact.
Definitely. And we'll be getting all that information out to you guys next month as well. Other shout outs for Division II wrestling. I'm sorry, not Division II, but for Newberry athletics in general. Field hockey is having a phenomenal season this year. Jared, what do you know what they're ranked right now?
8-0.
They're 8-0, and I know they're ranked top 5 in the country, I believe, or something like that. Number 9 in the country. So they're killing it. Golf had a good, strong win last week. And football is coming off of a crazy game where they went in 8 overtimes, too. So they extended, I think, the record. They're now 2-1, if I'm not mistaken.
2-1, yep.
Cool. So, you know, chasing that three-peat this year. Other general news for Newberry College as well. I mentioned that Founders Federal Credit Union. We cut the ribbon on that a couple weeks back. That's a phenomenal building. I can't wait to show our alumni that. And then Newberry has come out as ranked number, I think, top 10 in social mobility and a few other areas. Let's see if I can pull it up here real quick. So
while you're looking for that, a couple quick things. So the 8 overtime victory, if I'm not mistaken, is the longest D2 football game in history.
That's crazy.
As far as amount of periods goes. Now, there may have been one that took more time.
Yeah.
But as far as periods goes, I think 6 overtimes was the previous record. And we added 2 onto it.
Nice.
A little insurance.
That's intense.
And secondly, just to clarify, Coach has mentioned the Founders Federal Credit Union a couple times. So there's sort of two things. We have Founders Federal Credit Union on campus in Kauffman Hall near the CAF as a banking institution. That institution has sponsored our new field house, which is part of phase two of the stadium. And it's a giant field house that houses the football locker room, men's, women's lacrosse, field hockey, equipment rooms for each sport, and upstairs all of athletic administration and all of the coaches' offices for those sports mentioned, as well as a couple classrooms and some game day suites, mm-hmm. as well as like a porch that connects and leads directly into those stands. So it is still the visitor side. as far as the stands goes, but there is access to go out and watch a game, have a great view, all that stuff. So beautiful building just opened, phenomenal situation. Game day atmosphere is awesome. Come check it out for sure if you get a chance. You know, it's a lot of fun.
Definitely. And what I was getting to, over the last 3 years, Newberry has risen in three categories, value, social mobility, and overall best, as crested a fourth, having been named in Ideal College for Veterans. And so we're at best regional colleges, we came in number 10. Best value, we came in number 3. Social mobility, we came in number 4. And best colleges for veterans, we came in number 2. And I think a quote from President Mari, it just says, these phenomenal rankings are a reflection of the affordable, high-quality, elite education which our students receive. And it's something we're super proud about, especially, you know, when we talk about seeing those dollars at work. So wrapping up here, a couple shout-outs for guys that we got that have wrestled for the program that got a few things going on. Evan Kerrigan, who was a 25-pounder for us. He graduated a couple years ago. He has an MMA fight coming up in Freedom Hall, Johnson City, Tennessee. Live there. Great city, actually. It's on September 23rd, so good luck, Kerrigan. And then Isaiah Royal, Zach Clary, and Keenan Graham have all landed head high school coaching positions. So super proud of you guys keeping the Newberry wrestling coach tree strong. I appreciate you guys checking the podcast and listening. You can find us on anywhere you stream podcasts. You can also check us out on YouTube and our official athletics page as well. If you haven't given us a follow on social media, please do so. But we appreciate you guys listening.
Thanks for joining.